Well, Fusion, great to be with you. My name is Bo. Welcome to Fusion. To any guests or visitors who may be joining us, welcome. We hope that you feel embraced and invited. And of course, to my Fusion family, good to see you. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving holiday. Hey, before we get into the message, I just want to let you know that next week we're having Julie Boyt here with us. Speaking, Julie is our kingdom partner in Kenya. She leads the Living Room, which is an incredible outreach that I'll let her talk more about next week. But Julie comes almost every year to be with us and to speak, and you don't want to miss it. So please plan on being either at Fusion or at one of our services next weekend, because you're going to want to be here for that. Well, I hope that you all had a happy Thanksgiving. I hope that you ate your fill of turkey or ham or carne asada or whatever your family does on Thanksgiving. And let me just officially welcome you to the Christmas season. We made it. To those who faithfully waited until after Thanksgiving to celebrate Christmas, well done, good and faithful servant. You have made it. To those of you who have had your tree up since Halloween, there will be a time for confession and repentance later as you just own up to your wrongdoing. You know, every year it seems like we are more and more caught off guard when the holidays arrive. We say things like, how is it Thanksgiving already? Or, I can't believe Christmas is here, even though Costco has had Christmas up since September. I'm still surprised that Christmas is already here. And ultimately, we're all asking the same question. Where did the time go? It feels like time is moving faster and faster and faster. When we were kids, when I was a kid, it seems like it took forever for Christmas to get here. Now it's here before we know it. And it seems that that's true in all areas of our lives, doesn't it? The days, they fly by. The weeks fly by. The months fly by. And before you know it, the year is almost over and we're left wondering where it went. And all of the so-called time-saving devices and technology that we have at our disposal don't seem to be producing any more time in our lives, do they? In fact, I would argue they often do the opposite for us. In the Bible, specifically in the older translations, when describing the passage of time, there is a phrase that the Bible uses over and over again, and it's this phrase, it came to pass. It came to pass. The phrase, it came to pass, is used over 460 times throughout the Bible, and it connects two events with each other. Things like, and it came to pass at that time that Caesar Augustus issued a decree that everyone should go to their hometown and participate in a census. And when you think about the language of it came to pass, it makes you realize that time is not permanent. It's not fixed. It is here, and then it is gone. It came. The moment came. The day came. But it came to do what? It came to pass, to move along, to make way for the next. And as we enter the Advent season, as we prepare for Christmas and the end of our calendar year, I want to take some time tonight to consider the passing of time. In particular, I want us to be aware that time is not slowing down. And in fact, in our culture, it feels very much like time is speeding up more and more. And the challenge for a follower of Christ is to learn how to make the most of our time. Time will come to pass. So how do we honor God? How do we make the most out of every moment so that at the end of our lives, we don't look back and say, where did it all go? Let's pray together before we look at God's word. Jesus, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the time of worship that we've been able to have. We thank you for this Thanksgiving and holiday season that we are entered into. And God, as things speed up over the next several weeks and month, Lord, we pray that we would learn to slow down, to make the most of our time, to be aware of your presence and of your calling on our lives in each individual moment. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible is very clear that our days are limited, that nobody lives forever, and that it's to our benefit to be conscious of the fact that we are working with a finite amount of time in our lives. Look at Psalm 103, which is going to be in your bulletin as well as up on the screen. Here's what the author of Psalm 103 says. As for man, his days are like grass. He blooms like a flower of the field. When the wind passes over it, it vanishes, and its place is no longer known. But from eternity to eternity, the Lord's faithful love is toward those who fear him, and his righteousness toward the grandchildren of those who keep his covenant, who remember to observe his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, all his angels of great strength who do his word, obedient to his command. Bless the Lord, all his armies, his servants who do his will. The author of Psalm 103 is very aware that our lives on earth are like grass that grow and then die. And after they die, they fade away, and eventually people won't even remember that it was even ever there. Anybody encouraged by the word of God tonight? You're like, I feel great about my life. But on the other hand, Psalm 103 contrasts the reality that though our human lives are here and then gone, the faithful love of God endures forever. That those who follow God, who fear him, who live according to his will experience the love and the reign of God forever. So with that truth in mind, it begs the question, how then do we live? How do we make the most of our time? That's what Paul discusses in Ephesians chapter 5. When he tells us to pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. That word evil is not necessarily talking about Satan and you know, a satanic demonic thing, though it could be, but it's talking about toil and difficulty and struggle. So don't be foolish, he says, but understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living. Other translations will say, which will ruin your life, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. So Paul calls us to walk wisely or to live wisely, making the most of our time. So how do we do that? How do we make the most of the time that each one of us have? Three things. I want you to write these down in your bulletin. Number one, realize how brief our lives are. Realize how brief our lives actually are. Humanity wrestles with the idea that eventually all of our time will run out and our lives are going to be over. It's going to happen. It's a certainty for all of us. It's interesting that the phrase, it came to pass, though it's used over 460 times in the Bible, it's not found in the first three chapters of Genesis. Meaning that the passing of time in this way was not a problem until sin and death entered the human story. Sin and death started the process of time coming to pass in this way, and we have been at war against that ever since. That's the reality that we all live in now. We all struggle with the reality that time is passing and there's nothing we can do to slow it down. I remember being 10 years old. I have a very vivid memory of being 10 years old and staring at myself in the mirror in my bathroom and wondering, what will I look like at 30 years old? Like, what will I look like? What will my life be like? Where will I be living? It was just this massive question mark, this empty void in the future. And it seemed like it would be an eternity between 10 years old and 30 years old. It was forever away. To a 10-year-old, 30 would never arrive. And then I woke up one day and I was 30. And then I woke up the next day and now I'm 38 years old. The caution of Scripture is that if we fail to realize just how brief our time is, we can live unwisely and completely miss the opportunities that God will bring us. If you think you're gonna live forever, it doesn't matter how you live today. But that's not true. James, in his characteristically blunt manner, puts it like this in James chapter 4. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be. For you are like vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. James says you are vapor. You are mist. You are here one second and you are gone the next. In the scope of eternity, our lives are a mist. But do not be discouraged by that, because God has given every second of this vapor of a life to us to use as best we can for his glory and for his kingdom. Making the most of the time that we have in this life begins by realizing that we do not have forever. I know, if you're maybe in your late teens or your early 20s, it might feel like you have forever. I felt that way. But trust me when I say you do not have forever. There will be a day that comes, like for me, where I'll say statistically, probably half of my life is behind me at this point. We do not have forever. What we have is today. And keeping that in mind is key to making the most of the time that we have. So let me just ask, what are you waiting to do tonight? What dream that God has put into you are you waiting for a better moment or a better season of life to launch into? What sin are you wrestling with that you are putting off, looking in the face and getting serious about? If you've never made the decision to make Jesus Lord of your life, you've been putting it off. What are you waiting for? If you've been putting it off for tomorrow, let me tell you, you do not know that you have tomorrow. We all know stories. We all have experiences of people who we thought would be here tomorrow and they were not here tomorrow. We don't know how long that we have. What are you waiting for? Next. To make the most of our time, we must, number two, decide that God knows the best way for us to live. Yeah. Decide that God knows the best way for us to live. Psalm 103 tells us that the human experience is here and then gone. But God's faithful love is directed at those who fear him, who keep his covenant, and who walk in his commands. If we're honest, I think many of us like this less than realizing how brief our lives actually are, because we don't like somebody telling us what to do, do we? We want to be our own boss. We think that we know what is best for ourselves. I mean, that's the whole thing with our culture today, isn't it? Complete autonomy is the highest value we have in our society today. It's the thing to which we strive for with everything that we have. And any voice other than ours claiming to know what is best for us must be rejected and silenced according to our culture today. But Fusion, Scripture is very clear that we do not always know what is best for us. It is unwise for us to decide right and wrong for ourselves. And how many stories from our own lives do we have that we could point to that illustrate that truth? When I was a senior in high school, I wanted to get my lip pierced. It was 2002, at the height of the pop punk movement. It was edging into emo. I was listening to a lot of Blink-182 and Newfound Glory and other Warped Tour bands, and everyone who was cool had a lip ring, or so it seemed. And I had just turned 18 at the beginning of my senior year, which meant I could legally go and get my lip pierced myself. I no longer needed my parents' permission to go and get a piercing. However, being a senior in high school, I lived at home with my parents, and they paid my car insurance, and they paid my cell phone bill, and they helped me with gas, and they bought all the food I ate. Being a teenager, we make it so hard on ourselves. It's amazing. You wake up, and there is a fridge full of food all the time that you didn't pay for. It's like the greatest thing in the world. So I told them that I wanted to get my lip pierced, and my dad said, "Oh, no, you're not doing that. Like, you cannot get your lip pierced. It is incredibly unwise for you to do that right now at this phase in your life. You don't have a job. You live with us. You cannot get your lip pierced." I decided that as an 18-year-old, I knew what was best for me. So the next day, I went down to the piercing shop, and I went and I got my lip pierced. I know you're all thinking it. Yes, I brought a picture. So you can barely see it there. That is 18-year-old emo Bo with a lip ring, like a fish hook right through his lip. Upon walking in the door, my dad sees my lip ring. And he doesn't yell. He doesn't freak out. He just says, "Okay. If you're ready to make those kinds of decisions, you're ready to take care of yourself." And I learned that day that car insurance isn't free. And my cell phone wasn't free, and gas wasn't free. A few months later, I was at a party where a fight broke out, and I saw a friend of mine who also had a lip ring get punched in the mouth. And I'll spare you the details, but he didn't have a lip ring after the fight. And in that moment, I thought to myself, you know, maybe my dad knows stuff that I don't know. Maybe I don't need to make it so hard on myself all the time. And I took my lip ring out the next day. Now, I don't tell you that story to throw shade on lip rings. If you have your lip pierced, cool, more power to you. I tell it to illustrate what many of us do time and time again in our lives. God tells us the best way for us to live. Not because he's bossy and wants to control every action that we make, but because he loves us. And he knows what is best for us even more than we know what is best for us. And when we choose, when we're the ones who decide what is best for us, we so often choose things that go against God's will and God's plan for our lives. And we find ourselves living unwisely, Scripture says. And when we live unwisely, we will always, every single time, fail to make the most of the moments and the time that we have. That's why Paul says, don't live as the unwise do. He says, don't get drunk with wine, because that's going to cause you to miss your ability to make the most of the moments that you have today. And of course, there's more to be on watch for than getting drunk, though there are few ways in which you can waste time more than being drunk in your life. But I think about, how do I fail to make the most of the moments that I have? Well, I think about how easily we can distract ourselves throughout the day. How much time is spent scrolling on social media, consuming entertainment that is horrible for our brains, for our emotions, for our well-being, and for our relationships? What could we have done with that time? Fusion, to make the most of the time that we have, we must look to the one who gave us that time in the first place. God knows what is best for our lives. And every moment we go against God's plan for us, we are failing to make the most of the brief time that we have in this life. Third and finally, how to make the most of the time that we have. Number three, live each day with eternity in mind. Live each day with eternity in mind. The greatest way I think that we can make the most of the time that we have is to remember that though this life is a vapor, it is not all that we get. We are made for eternity. Ecclesiastes says this, that God has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart. Yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from beginning to end. Meaning, we can't understand eternity. We can't comprehend eternity, but we all long for eternity. We are all drawn towards the idea of eternity. He has placed eternity into the heart of humanity. Every single one of us has eternity written into our very being. Our bodies are temporary, but our souls were made to go on and on. And that truth should drive us not to place the highest value on temporary things, but on the eternal, on things that truly last. C.S. Lewis, in one of the ways that only he can, said it this way. Christianity asserts that every individual human being is going to live forever. And this must be either true or false. Either it's real or it's not. Now, there are a good many things which would not be worth bothering about if I were going to live only for 70 years, but which I had better bother about very seriously if I'm going to live forever. Like, is there a God? Like, is Jesus the only way to the Father? These are things that if we're only living 70 years and that's it, we don't need to think much about. But if we are living forever, we need to consider them greatly. Fusion, consider the weight that we place on temporary things in this life. How much time do we spend worrying about and striving for things that ultimately, in the long view of eternity, just do not matter? Has anybody stressed about money in the last couple of months? Just me. Congratulations to all of you. Yeah, absolutely. I know I have. Every time I go to the grocery store or the gas station, I feel a little bit of anxiety and a little bit of worry. I mean, I'll even admit that I've lost sleep over money over the last several months. Am I saving enough for retirement? Am I going to be able to cover my kids' college funds? How are we going to make all of this work in this season? Now listen, how we handle our money matters. Scripture calls us to be wise in our finances. That is true. But when this life is over, when I step into eternity, into the presence of my Savior, how much I paid for a gallon of gas will no longer be a consideration of mine. And I wonder, what else do we spend so much time consumed with that will not matter when we step into eternity? The image that I work so hard to craft of myself to impress other people, will that matter on the other side of eternity? The opinions of others, what they thought of me, will it matter on the other side of eternity? The number of followers that I was able to get on social media, those 10 to 15 pounds that every New Year's I'd say I lose and every year I never actually did, will it actually matter on the other side of eternity? And you can fill in the list for yourself. What are you consumed with day in and day out that just won't matter on the other side of eternity? Alex, you can join me up here as I prepare to close. So what will matter? I think our participation in the kingdom of God will be what matters most on the other side of eternity. Did I live my life faithfully pursuing the kingdom of God? Did I obey the commands of my master, Jesus? Did I let scripture lead me in my life? Did I let scripture form my worldview as opposed to the culture in which I found myself? Did I preach the gospel to every single person I had the opportunity to? Did I receive his love and forgiveness? And did I in turn pass that love and forgiveness on to others in my life? Fusion, living with eternity in mind will change how we live our lives today. We are entering the Christmas season, which is beautiful, and it also has a tendency to throw us into a frenzy. We tend to go nuts with shopping and consumerism. Family drama has a way of popping up in the holidays in unique and interesting ways. We can just get so busy during this season. And as we enter the Advent season, I pray that we will make the most of the time that we have. 2022 is almost over. I feel like some of us are still processing 2020, and here we are approaching 2023. So make the most of the time that you have, Fusion. Realize that this life is brief, and every day that we have is a gift from God. Tomorrow is not promised, but we have right now in this moment. Choose to remember that living wisely means that we recognize that God knows what is best for our lives. We think that we know what's best for us, but God and his word ultimately tells us the best way to live. And live each moment, each day with the knowledge that ultimately what matters most is what we will take into eternity, not the temporary things of our lives today. Would you pray with me? Lord, it's always a humbling thing to be reminded of how finite our lives are, how temporary this life is. And God, I pray that being aware of how brief our time on earth is would not cause us to be fearful or to be, you know, afraid of anything, but instead, God, I pray that it would motivate us to make the most of the time that we have. God, I pray that we would be encouraged to remember that you know what is best for us. And in order to make the most of our time, we must live according to your word and your will and your plan for our lives. God, if there's any areas in our lives that we are not living according to your best and according to your way, I pray that by your grace and by your love, would you just call us to repentance in this moment? God, help us to turn away from anything in our lives that is not lining up to your will and your best for us. And God, I pray that you would help us to keep eternity in mind. Ultimately, what matters most is what we will take into eternity. First and foremost, God, we will take into eternity our relationship with you. So if there's anybody in here who has never made a decision to follow Jesus, if you've never trusted him with your life, you've never asked him to forgive you of your sin, to make you new, to make you right with your creator, I want to give you an opportunity to do that now. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, if you're here and you've never made the decision to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin, to be Lord of your life, and you want to do that right now, you can. You can simply make a decision in your heart that says, Jesus, I recognize my sin. I recognize my need to be saved. I ask for your forgiveness by your work on the cross. If you've made that decision, I want to encourage you to talk to somebody. You can come up to myself, Sarah Ann, or Jairo as we're doing this closing song. There will also be prayer teams available to the side of the stage who would love to pray with you and talk about that. But if you've made the decision to trust Jesus for the first time, let somebody know. God, I pray that we would be a community that doesn't get consumed with the immediate, but God, that we would live each day as the gift that it is, keeping eternity in mind. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Alex, will you lead us?